This is Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Ben Ennis. You can follow me on Twitter at BennisSnet. Happy to be joined now by Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball, also play-by-play man, Blue Jays Baseball, fifth and sixth innings. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Benathan. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just great, Mike. Good. Before we get to the Blue Jays, though, the suspension's coming down for that Royals-White Sox incident, just the latest in a slew of Royals dust-ups. I don't want to call it a punch-out. I don't know if – did anyone actually land a punch in that thing? Either way.
There were a lot of punches thrown while moving backwards. It was a very NBA-style brawl.
There was one moment in particular. I don't know who it was, but they ended up face-to-face with somebody, and they're like – they realized, oh, I don't want to engage at all here, and then backed off. But Yordano Ventura, 7-gamer. Edison Volquez, 5-game suspension. Lorenzo Cain, 2 games. Kelvin Herrera, 2 games. Chris Sale, 5 games. Samardzija, 5 games as well. The Herrera one is interesting to me, Mike, because this guy was already suspended for 5 games for throwing 100 miles an hour behind Brett Laurie. He was suspended for 5 games for that incident. I don't think he's had his appeal heard yet. So,
no, I don't think he has either.
So what does that mean? Does he hear them at the same time? Or does he have to serve his sentence concurrently?
Or maybe he just doesn't appeal this one because it's only 2 games, and he waits on the other one. And, you know, the appeal process in baseball is idiotic and can be very strategic for the players who get suspended. I mean,
you have to go to New York, right?
Yeah, you have to, or wait till your team goes to New York, and I don't know when the Royals make their one visit to the Yankees. But there can be, you know, Herrera can wait for a time where his shoulder's barking, or the Royals have used him in 3 straight games, and then he needs a couple of days off. He can just drop the appeal of the suspension and take those 2 days. So, the starting pitchers can wait, Sale and Samardzija and Volquez, wait until the team's got a doubleheader, drop their appeal so they don't even miss a start.
Yeah.
It's insane. But for Herrera, the 2 games is easier to deal with for a reliever, I think, than the 5.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. All right, so let's talk about, well, I don't know about yesterday's game. Let's start with actually the Steve Tolleson DFAing to clear up room to bring Michael Saunders off the DL. I was a little surprised. I thought it would be Ryan Goins just because he has options left. But really, Mike, I mean, it makes sense. And Ryan Goins, at this point, adds more value to your team. I know Tolleson mashes lefties, but you already have one of those lefty mashers in Danny Valencia, right?
Well, you need more than one. But I think the key is that Tolleson doesn't have a place if everybody's healthy.
Right.
So even though, you know, you look at the lineup against left-handers, your starting lineup, when everyone's healthy.
That's what I mean.
Tolleson doesn't start. So it does make sense. I was surprised, too. I thought it would be Goins because of the options, and you want to keep the asset. And I don't think that Tolleson will get through waivers. I think there's a place for him somewhere, and somebody will claim him. But I wouldn't say it's a pure win now move, but it's a move that shows that they're going to care less about keeping players than they are going to care about having the best 25.
Yeah, I would say that they've shown that all season long with the Osuna and Castro promotion to the major leagues for opening day. And boy, where would this team be without them?
Getting rid of Redmond when they did.
Yeah.
I didn't think that keeping Redmond and Hendricks over one of them and Goins coming out of spring training was that type of move. But other than that, yeah, they've shown it.
Hendricks is an interesting guy, Mike, because I was impressed. He was hitting 95 on the gun. I think maybe he just threw too many fastballs in that ninth inning against the Orioles. But he's turning into, I don't know, the Blue Jays' third most relied upon righty, at least. And maybe the third most relied upon reliever. No, I think Brett Cecil's kind of jumped into third. Okay, so their fourth most reliable reliever right now. That, and we talked before the season, I mean, I had no indication that he was anything other than just a guy. Now, things change when you go from starting to relieving. You can get a couple extra miles an hour. But 95, that's not half bad.
No, 95 is kind of swell, but I'd like to see the bounce back off of that outing Thursday night against Baltimore because he was bad. I mean, he gave up hits to three of the four guys.
Yeah.
You know, you come in with a five-run lead in the ninth inning. You want to see a guy, whether he gets into a little bit of trouble or not, you don't want to use more than one reliever. And so you want to see your guy just finish it up and take you home and not get into a situation where you have to go to your closer because all of a sudden it's a save situation. So Hendricks had been really, really good up until that point, but it was, what, five innings, six outings, six innings, something like that.
Right.
I want to see how he goes from here on out before we talk about him having turned a corner and being a contributor. But if he pitches the way he pitched in his first five or six outings, then, yeah, absolutely. He's found money.
How do the Blue Jays get some starters that can go a little deeper? Now, Drew Hutchison was nice. It's early again. You got young pitchers who are trying to find themselves. Maybe Aaron Sanchez is the best place to start with this because here's how I viewed Aaron Sanchez as a guy who, looking at the minor league numbers, never seeing him in the minor leagues, just looking at the pure numbers, I thought, man, the walks are really kind of alarming. And then he came up to the major leagues, and I know it was out of the bullpen. He was only throwing a couple of pitches, but he like didn't walk anybody. So I thought, at least he'll be able to get that two-seamer over the plate as a starter. Maybe something's clicked. Seven walks, Mike, and just been so inconsistent. There was that I want to say an inning and a half, maybe it was two innings in the middle of that game where he looked unhittable, and you're like, well, if you could just figure that out for seven, eight innings, you'd be unbelievable. But I don't know. I guess the control problems aren't completely out of left field though with him.
Well, I mean, seven walks.
Yeah.
In you know, he was a guy who walked
five per nine
every other inning in the minor leagues over the course of his career. So it's not not good. By any means. I mean, I wouldn't say it's alarming. There are pitchers who survive walking a guy every other inning.
And there's guys that figured out how to not to as well.
All right, yeah, there are guys who flame out, sure. But I think what we have to remember is that he's 22 years old and that it's a development process, and he continues to be in that development process. And guys at 20, 21, 22 aren't the guys they are at 25, 26, 27. He may not be a guy who has 4.5 walks per nine innings for his whole career. He might be. But again, seven walks, it was five in three and a third innings and then seven for the six and a third or whatever it was.
Right.
That's a big outlier. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I think there are some people who would like him to be the closer right now. And that's why we're hearing a lot of these Scott Copeland whispers being coming into the light. And I, you know, Scott Copeland's been wonderful in AAA. Liam Hendricks was a AAA All-Star.
Right.
I don't want Liam Hendricks in my rotation. So I don't think that Scott Copeland is necessarily going to walk in and all of a sudden be great in the bottom of the Blue Jays rotation. And Sanchez has a chance to be. I talked to Pete Walker on Thursday after the Sanchez outing, and you know, because it was those seven batters after the, I don't know if it was after the home run or if it was after the walk, whatever, the last out of the third and then the fourth and fifth, he got seven outs on 21 pitches and, like you said, looked unhittable. So we know it's there. And he didn't all of a sudden decide, oh, I'm going to throw like I threw out of the bullpen. You know, just something clicked in, whatever it was. And Walker told me that they think they know what it was, and they think he and Russell Martin got together, Walker and Martin, and they think they'll have it fixed, and we can expect to see results in his next outing. You've got the tape if at some point you want to play it. It was like a three-minute conversation. But so I'm looking forward to seeing what he has next time out. Now, if he comes out next time and goes 4 1/3 and walks six, then we have an issue. But maybe not.
Yeah. It's hard to put a definitive timeline on these things. But, I mean, do you think if he puts up a start like you just described, like that could be his last this season, or at least for a bit? Could he be pulled from his rotation spot as soon as one start away from now?
Potential for that to happen. I hope not. I think that when you start a season with six rookies, you're committing to some ups and downs. And taking a guy's job away after four starts is a little quick for me.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'd like to see six at least. But yeah, it's possible.
What do I make of this, Mike? What should I do with this? I knew this season the Blue Jays would hit well. They would score a ton of runs. They've done that. They've scored a whole bunch of runs, especially against the Orioles. And that's why the Orioles have the worst ERA in the American League. But second worst is the Blue Jays. Most home runs issued in all of baseball. Second most walks issued in the American League. We knew the pitching would be the question mark going into this season. That being said, they're 9-8. So yep. Maybe, I mean, it can't get much worse than this. And they're 9-8 somehow with that kind of decrepit pitching staff. So, I mean, should I maybe be buoyed by that?
Probably. I mean, I think it's a good thing. You know, if the pitching is getting smacked all over the place and they're 6-11, then you got problems. But, and I said this a lot of times over the course of the spring and the early part of the season, they're going to bludgeon some teams. They're going to win their share of 9-8s and 10-7s, and that's what they've done so far early in the season. And they've done it without significant contributions from Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, who are probably, when it's all said and done, going to wind up being their two best hitters. So, the pitching is bound to improve. It has to, because you're not going to go through a whole season with your starters averaging whatever they're averaging, 5 1/3 innings a start, if even that. And Norris, Sanchez, Hutchison are too good to continue pitching the way they've pitched, or Sanchez goes to the bullpen and he's a great closer again, they hope. And, you know, Norris is at least too good to keep this up. I'll be stunned if he's as bad tonight as he was last time out. And I think Hutchison's pretty good, too, and we've seen it in half of his starts. You know, he was terrific against the Yankees on opening day, and he was phenomenal against the Orioles on Thursday night. So, yeah, I think the starting pitching has to improve, and with that, you'll get a little bit of a bullpen boost because you won't be using them for four innings a game. And the offense, sure, Devin Travis is going to come down to earth. He's not going to hit 400,
right,
and he's not going to lead the team in home runs. But there's nobody else who's hitting out of his skull right now, I don't think.
Yeah. So, Josh Donaldson playing pretty
Josh
well,
Donaldson
but he's
being Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, he's a good player and stuff.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, he's never put an OPS up of 1,000, which is like, I think he's OPSing 1,000 right now.
Okay, so he'll drop to 900.
Maybe. Let's talk about long home runs, Michael. They called that Donaldson home run against the Orioles, 469 feet. I think it was the longest of his career.
I heard 481.
Yeah, okay. So I thought I saw that too, but I'm looking at the box score, at least on ESPN.com, and they have it at 469.
Interesting.
So I don't know what the accepted length of that home run is. Okay, so let's go with yours, 481. I've seen some long home runs. That was a long one.
Was it
longer than Edwin's?
Yeah.
Fifth deck shot? Okay.
Yeah, because Edwin's was high, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the arc on Edwin's and you look at the arc on Donaldson's, like Donaldson's had just started, I think, to go down when it hit the ribbon scoreboard on the facing of the 300 level. So that one was still going quite a ways, whereas Edwin's was, you know, almost at full drop when it got into the 500 level.
What's the longest home run you've seen at that ballpark? Were you there for the Manny?
I had my head down.
that would, like, hit off the back wall of the 500 level.
It came close to hitting the hotel, yeah. And obviously I saw the replay 1,000 times. But back then, there was a tradition in the press box. And I was working for it must have been 680 at the time,
yeah,
our lovely sister station down the dial. Back then, there was a tradition in the press box that when a pitcher had a no-hitter through three innings,
oh, yeah, the pool.
A little gambling pool,
yeah,
that happened, and everyone would get a certain spot in the batting lineup. And so that was happening at the time, and I think Manny was leading off the fourth inning, so I was passing out letting people pick out of the hat where they were going to be in the pool, and then I heard it, and I heard the crowd, and then I looked at the replay. But yeah, I was there for that. That was something else.
I think that was the longest. In looking at the
it's the longest
replay.
Measured one, right? I think
is it?
Absolutely. But I think it has to be. Although I did see Barry Bonds hit a home run off of those little auxiliary scoreboards that are right beside the what used to be called the Jumbotron that I don't know what to call it anymore.
Yeah.
So
where the clock is?
Yeah, that's far.
In batting practice, I saw Alex Rodriguez hit it like into the little restaurant there where the guy was frying up something.
Yeah, and that's happened 3 times in games.
Has it?
Yeah, Jim Tomey did it. Somebody did it this year, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Steven Souza.
Steven Souza.
I feel like Steven Souza's was further than Donaldson's. That was murdered.
Not according to the engineer geeks.
Lies.
They know their stuff.
Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball. It's the Jays and Orioles today. 6:10. You got a pre-game? You on at 5 or 5:30?
No, 5:30. Sam, it's on until 5:30, so we'll be on at 5:30.
So you'll
Gary will talk to Gibby, and Joe will talk to somebody. Don't know who yet.
Okay. It'll be good, though.
Lovely, yeah.
What's with all the beanballs in Major League Baseball? Kind of glossed over it after we talked about the Royals. I love how the Royals went from, like, this scrappy, you know, team that's just trying to get into the playoffs that everybody loved last year because they hadn't been in the playoffs for so long. And now they're like the bad boys of baseball. I love that.
Ned Yost says none of it is their fault.
Okay, sure. Yeah, okay.
Everyone's picking on us. I think at some point when it's everybody, you know, you kind of have to look inwardly a little bit. But it is really strange. I mean, I don't know what – I still can't figure out why Yordano Ventura – let Adam Eaton have it while he was running up the first baseline after he hit a weak comeback into the mound.
I've been corrected sort of because I felt that way too, and I still sort of feel that way. But Eaton did start it. He said something after he hit it. He said something to Ventura
was he just cursing himself for not getting anything?
Yeah. I guess maybe that's debatable. But he said something before Ventura told him to bleep himself or bleep off or whatever.
Very interesting. All right, I did not know that, but that's good to know. I don't know what's going on.
Because it's not just the Royals, right? It's the Orioles and the Blue Jays. It's the Orioles and the Red Sox. It's the A's and the Royals. It's the Royals and the White Sox. It's funny.
The Blue Jays and Orioles thing, I mean, there's just silliness with Darren O'Day and Jose Bautista that goes back years. And I forgot.
It's also the Blue Jays and Rays, right? Yeah, it's Chris Archer and the Blue Jays and Evan Longoria.
Well, I mean, the thing, although there was no brawling there, and Longoria got hit on the hip, so I wouldn't call that a beanball. I mean, that was a very well-placed message sent by a guy who's got really good control in Marco Estrada. I think we need to have a legit book of unwritten rules, because they seem to change all the time. Maybe that's why they're unwritten. Chris Archer, you know, no one's allowed to celebrate a home run hit off Chris Archer, but Archer's allowed to act like a maniac after he gets a big strikeout.
Right.
Certain rookies are allowed to throw behind hitters, but other rookies aren't. You know, Jason Garcia's a nervous rookie who's 22 years old.
Marcus Stroman, though.
He throws behind Jose Bautista, and for Baltimore, it's okay. Marcus Stroman's a rookie who's 23 years old, and he throws behind Caleb Joseph. It's not okay. There are a lot of these rules that I just don't understand.
Do you, in general, like the idea of intentionally throwing at someone to send a message or that aspect of baseball? Because I kind of like it. As long as nobody gets hurt, I'm fine.
You like hockey fights, too?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay, see, that's the thing. I don't like either of those things. I think they're Neanderthalic and idiotic.
Yeah, so are sports. Sports are Neanderthalic and idiotic.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. No, they're stupid. Sports are stupid. Yeah, sports are, you got grown men dressed in pajamas swinging wood sticks at each other.
But they're not swinging the wood sticks at each other.
Okay, they're swinging wood sticks to try and hit a sphere and run around pillows.
It's competition. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but, I get it. It's meaningless. Not, it's entertainment, too.
It is, absolutely. But, you know, intentionally trying to hurt somebody in a very cowardly fashion is not good, and that applies more to the baseball than the hockey fights, because hockey fights you're engaging with someone, and there's a chance for you to get hurt yourself.
Right.
If you're throwing a baseball at 90 plus miles an hour at someone from a safe distance, that's a pretty cowardly act.
Okay. What about the National League then? What if you do it in the National League? Is that acceptable? Because then you gotta dig in.
No, it's not, because you may not have to dig in. I mean, you may have to dig in at some point later in the season or something like that. But the pitcher, I mean, the retribution. Then the guy who hits you has to dig in also. So it's a fourth and back thing.
Well, maybe we'll see more of it today. Who knows? Daniel
Icarus.
And Daniel Norris against, oh my goodness, Erasmo Ramirez is going to start again?
I know, it's something. I was stunned when the Rays brought Matt Andrees out of the bullpen yesterday.
Oh my
In a game goodness. Like that, I thought they would want to start him today.
He was good.
He was good, and Erasmo was awful.
So bad.
And he's been awful for years.
Okay, so this is the game you got to win and then take your chances against Chris Archer tomorrow, I guess.
One would think.
All right. Hopefully Daniel Norris has a live arm today. That would be good. He's gotten some acupuncture, so I'm sure that'll cure what ails him.
He says he's fine. We'll see.
All right. Pre-game show starts at 5:30. Thank you, Michael. Enjoy the game.
My pleasure.
There is Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball, Blue Jays and Rays tonight. 5:30 pre-game show, Daniel Norris against the incomparable Erasmo Ramirez. That'll do it for me. Jeff Sammet up next. You can follow me on Twitter @BennisSNet. Have a spectacular Saturday. See you later.